Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Jamie. Welcome to the Fit and Fabulous podcast. Such exciting news this morning. I shared on my Instagram, we have hit over 50,000 downloads on the Fit and Fabulous podcast, and we're just a baby. We are just getting started, and we're in 82 countries, 4,324 cities, which is so cool. I'm always just dumbfounded by the power of the internet and social media, that we can literally reach people in all these different continents. And you guys are helping me do that. Every single time you listen, every time you download, every time you leave a review, you are helping our reach. So I want you to know that you are absolutely part of this powerful movement. And I appreciate each and every one of you so much. So I have a super badass chick on my podcast today, and I've been looking so forward to interviewing her. Ever since I met Tara Garrison, I just feel like we could be sisters.
Yeah,
I love everything that she stands for. She's a mom of a bunch of kids, and she has no excuses in her freaking life. And I just love everything she's doing. So you guys, I want to introduce you to my guest today, Tara Garrison. Thank you for coming, Tara. I appreciate your time. I know you're busy.
Tara, thanks for having me.
Tara is the founder of something called Hire. This is a luxury health coaching experience for high performers, both men and women. It includes training, nutrition, biohacking, and mindset coaching. And you guys, you have heard me say, mindset is where it's at. She's helped celebrities, professional athletes, top executives to help optimize their health. She's also the creator of something called the Keto In and Out system, which we're going to talk about, because she basically says do keto, but not forever, to optimize your metabolism, your brain power, athletic performance, and physique. She also hosts the Inside Out Health podcast. She interviews world-class health experts all over the world. She's a mom of four. Like I said, she's a weightlifter. She has serious, you guys, a goals physique. We'll talk about that too. She ran the Boston Marathon. She loves nature. She's always out climbing some mountain or walking some trail. If you watch her stories, you can find her on Instagram at Coach Tara Garrison. She shares all the workings of her life. She's brutally honest, health education, motivation, but she has credentials, you guys. She's certified through the National Academy of Sports Medicine, the International College of Applied Nutrition and Strength. She's a certified functional strength coach, and she's certified neurotyping coach and metabolic analytics practitioner. Tara, that was a mouthful.
Well, thank you for that intro. I was getting ready for this interview. I was like, that's cool that everybody gets to hear me and one of my homies just hanging out and talking about nerdy health stuff. That's what it feels like. You know, it's so fun doing these interviews with, you know, colleagues who have become friends. So
yeah,
it'll be fun today.
Well, your bio is, of course, very noteworthy. You have done lots of cool things, but tell people who Tara Garrison is.
Ooh, I mean, how spiritual you want to get here?
Well, I mean, let's start from the beginning, because like who you are now, I mean, I think that, you know, where you came from has kind of built where you are now. So I guess share as much as you want of your background and how we got here today.
Yeah. I mean, I'm living, breathing proof that it all starts in your mind. My life, I'm so grateful for my life path. I love life so much. Life is such an adventure. All the ups and downs, all the crap, all the high moments. Like, it's amazing, you know. And my childhood prepared me well to be resilient, you know. And I'm grateful for it, because it's given me empathy with my clients. I'm like, I know what it's like to grow up poor. I know what it's like to have sexual abuse. I know what it's like to have emotional, physical abuse. I know what it's like to feel like you don't fit in. I know what it's like to grow up overweight and feel like you're never, ever going to be able to change that. You know, I've walked that road for decades. I know what it's like to be a busy mom and trying to balance all these things in life, work and kids and all of it, you know, and I'm so grateful for all of the trials, all the challenges, all the adversity that I've had in my life, because as I've been able to find solutions on how to get past that and get into a place of power, it's just helped me find strategies that I can help other people with, you know, doing a lot of healing work around my childhood. You know, I was left a major religion that completely controlled my life. I got divorced. I've walked that path, and I'm just so freaking grateful for the many, strategies, modalities, other people who have come into my life that have brought these amazing gifts of healing and empowerment. You know, I always say, like, we're so lucky that we can read a book for like $20. That is somebody's magnum opus of the way they think, the way that everything that they've learned in their life path. Wow. How valuable, you know? So I'm grateful for all the books and podcasts like these. I'm grateful for the information. I'll speak on behalf of your audience, Jamie. I mean, the reason your podcast is blowing up like that is because we're so grateful for all the amazing information you bring to the world and your energy, your spirit, you know, and I'm just grateful for everybody in my path that has like up leveled me. And now it's just such an honor to be able to pass that to others. So yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, from a health and fitness perspective, I was actually going to be a Spanish teacher. That was my path. I love teenagers. I love Spanish. I speak Spanish. I have a degree in Spanish. And I love that. I used to teach it and I thought that was super fun, you know, but when I got healthy, when I was able to completely it's not about really transforming your body. That's a cool bonus. But when you transform your whole internal environment in order to do that, and you start finding out what you're capable of, and you start having these insane energy levels and seeing that you're capable of so much, I'm like, this is important. I want to serve in this, you know, like Spanish is cool and it's important, but not like this for me. It was very much like a soul calling, you know, and that drives me. It's not easy being a health entrepreneur, you know, building a coaching business and doing the social media gig and the podcast. It's a lot, you know, and I know you know that. And I still to this day do not understand how you are still a practicing OB with three kids and doing all this. Like, holy, yeah, it's amazing, you know. But it's I think it's probably the same drive as me. And it's just like, if I have the opportunity to help serve in anybody's path, like a little bit, like I want to, what an honor and privilege for me, truly. Like it's so deep, you know, when my clients tell me that they've hit a new level of self-compassion or seeing their strengths or achieve these insane goals, I'm like, so lucky. I'm so honored that I got to serve a little bit in their path. So yeah, it's been a wild ride, you know, it's been a wild ride, but it has been the ride of a lifetime, truly. And health, for me, health was I call it the gateway drug to personal awakening. You know, like I just thought I was trying to get in shape. I did not realize what was coming. The mindset journey that would have to happen in order for that to happen. And that has just propelled me so much in my life. And I'm so grateful for all of it.
Okay. So take us back to the beginning then, when you were unhealthy, like when you're at that low, where like, and I'm so intrigued by people like you, because patients come into my office all day long and they know what to do, right? Or they think they know what to do.
Yeah, right.
I know how I'm supposed to eat. I know how I'm supposed to move. But I cannot get myself to do it. So I'm totally fascinated by the Tara Garrisons of the world that just seem to set the excuses aside and just freaking crush life. So take us back to when you weren't this person. Yeah. And what did that look like? What was your internal language like? And then how did you take that first step to where you're at now?
Yeah. The reason, you know, and I hear this all the time as a coach too, I know what to do. I just need to do it. What they're missing there is it's not really about the what is important, but the why is the most important behind anything. Because if the why is so powerful that it drives you no matter what, when you hit a roadblock, you don't care. You're like, well, let me just like back out of this alleyway and like turn around and go the other way. Like I have to get to this, I have to change this in my life. Like I know why. I don't know how, you know, that I'll figure that out. But if that why is super powerful, you'll get there. And so for me, like growing up, I was never in sports. I was too embarrassed. I was like a little bit overweight. I just didn't feel athletic. We were poor. So I had never been in sports. So by the time I got to high school, I was just too intimidated to even try, you know? So I was always academically driven, but I was not always like this with athletics. And for me personally, I'd like to share this story, my story, because it's been so illuminating that even if you have a why that isn't very healthy, if your why is freaking powerful, it's unbelievable what you can do. I mean, look at drug addicts,
and so
I fully admit my why was not healthy to begin with, but I'm so grateful for that in my path because it brought me to where I am now. And sometimes, you know, like you see these super high achievers, and if you get into private conversations with like people who are, you know, billionaires or close, a lot of times their why, what drives them to do that is not really healthy. It's like, they got a chip on their shoulder about their dad telling them they never amount to anything, or, you know, they got something to prove. And that was me. So like after my fourth kid, I was like, I'm almost 5'7". I was probably like 175 pounds, like no muscle though. Right. You know what I mean? So the, probably yeah. a very typical one of my clients, I would get probably somewhere around 35, 40% body fat.
Yeah.
Well, I started having marriage issues, and my ex-husband has told me I could talk about this. But so we were Mormon, and in Mormonism, pornography is really, prohibited. And I think it really creates kind of like food restrictions. Like it creates this like forbidden fruit syndrome where it's like you want it. Yeah. Yeah. And so he was dealing with that. I hadn't done any personal work. I took it all personally. I was acting like I didn't, right? You know, that like the emotional body and the conscious mind, very different, right? So my conscious mind was like, everything's fine. That's okay. I will support you in getting past this. My emotional body is, I'm not enough. I needed to be hotter. He wasn't attracted to me. I will fix this. Like, you know, I was totally in the reactive mind. And so that started to be what really drove me, was like, I just wanted to be hotter for my husband. That's where I was at. Right. And so I had this obsessive, like that why was super powerful for me. Right. Like it was super deeply personal because I had my value wrapped up in it. Mm-hmm. Like that is my value in my relationship as a woman. You know, I had never even seen porn before in my life at that time. In my mind, they were all Victoria's Secret supermodels. So like that was the goal, like Victoria's Secret supermodel, you know? And so as I went down that path, like, yeah, I learned a lot. And that's what I love about life, is that there's so much multiplicity in everything. It's never just like one thing is happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like you could have a horrible tragedy happen in your life and something amazing at the same time. And so for me, as I was going down that path of not enoughness and proving my worth and my value, I was also becoming fascinated with the human body. And I was like, wow, this is like really freaking cool how you can like change all these habits and you can just start to feel and look completely different. And so as I went further and further down that path, you know, over many years, I started to figure out that I had a bunch of wounds that I needed to heal, and started doing a lot of active work with coaches. I love the work of Byron Katie. It's been very powerful in my life. For me personally, plant medicines have been very healing in my life. And so being able to deprogram all these things that I thought was true, it's been so amazing because now I have such a loving, deep love and appreciation for my body and all bodies. Like they're so amazing. I'm in a completely different place there, but I learned so many things in that wounded place, in that path, you know, like, and it through that wound and that dark place that I was in, it was like the stimulus for me to get into my path of purpose. Like I love learning. I'm insatiable. I love the human body is like, it's like the ocean there. It's like, it never ends. There's so much more to learn. It's so fun. And so anyway, I share that vulnerably because like that was my path, you know, and if that is your path, and I definitely know as a coach, especially since I'm doing health and mindset work, that a lot of people are driving themselves with not enoughness, right? They've been using that as a motivator their whole lives. And I was doing that too. And it works to an extent. The only problem with it is that there's never, if your lens you're seeing life through is I'm not enough as I am, no matter where you get, you'll always still be seeing life through that lens. And so coming back into like seeing myself and compassion and love and honoring and all of that has been such a healing place to be. And because I walked that road, I know what it feels like inside the mind. I know where your mind goes after you eat donuts. I know where your mind goes when you go on social media, you know, because I've lived it. So yeah, it's really a why. So if you're in a healthy place with your body. So I tell my clients all the time, I'm like, please do not set arbitrary goals. Like, okay, you want to be 18% body fat. Why really? Like, tell me, healthy or unhealthy. Like I need to know that this is a powerful thing for you. And you didn't just see a picture of like Brooke Entz or somebody on Instagram and you want to look like her, or me. You saw a picture of me and you want to look like me just cause on a whim. That's not a powerful why. Like I need to know deep in your soul, you know? So yeah, the why is usually, it's not people say, I know what I need to do. I just need to freaking do it. It's like, no, it's just that you actually really don't care about it as much as you think you do. If your why is powerful enough, you will do anything it takes to get there.
Yeah. I think it's interesting when we look at like obesity research, somebody could lose, their goal is to lose 100 pounds and they could get to 95 pounds of weight loss and they'll never hit it and they'll just go back. Wow. Because humans, the thought that we're powerful beyond measure is scary. Mm. Like the thought that we could actually like, oh, say I want to do this and then just like, boom, go accomplish it. Like that's actually very terrifying to humans. And so I think that we use these, well, I've been abused or I'm this, or like, I'm always fat. Like we use that as these kind of like subtle seductive excuses to never actually like attain what we think, like we believe we truly are. Right. And that was kind of, you know, like my story. And I think we almost had like parallel paths, very, very different, but kind of, I was at like a really, life looked good from the outside. Anybody looking at my life thought it was amazing, but I had this like horrible tragedy. And I just felt like stuck in my own body. And I think what the scary thing, and there was this pivotal moment for me in 2015, was making a declaration of who you are with zero evidence. And people, I was talking on another podcast, like, where did Fit and Fabulous come from? I'm like literally on my couch one night at my lowest moment. I don't know. I just made it up. And then I said, well, this is who I am. And now the world's watching. And so now I have to literally become this. And it's just been incredible. Like, through the process, you have to continually like reinvent yourself and to figure out who you are, because that changes like who I was before I had kids. And like, okay, now I'm a mom. Like, what does that mean to me? And I love how you're just saying like, oh, you want to be 18% body fat. Cool. Like, what's that going to get you? Is that going to get you the guy you want? Is that going to get you the bank account you want? Like, what's the end goal?
Right.
And what I've realized through this like entire journey is, and what's been so fulfilling for me kind of living in this space, is I just think at the end of the day, currency is human transaction and like relationships and experience and moments. And, it's just, that's where it gets like so deep. Okay. So when you were, you're trying to like get healthier, talk to me about your diet and like when you started hitting nutrition, like how did you ever get into keto?
So I actually made that whole transformation not on keto. I did not find keto until after that. So what I was doing was like pretty much your basic bodybuilder style life, right? Lots of protein, kind of low carb and low fat, you know, but more carbs than fat. Fat was like very, very low, low calorie. I never was very like, I've never been, like a very, very strict calorie counter. Like I'd rather just like eat vegetables and things and bulk it up and just kind of know in my head that it's low calorie than like be psychotic about everything that goes in my mouth. And so I was able to do that between, you know, at that time I started getting faster with running, which was very exciting. My mom was a pioneer in women's running in the '60s, and I had always been kind of slow, but I loved it because I always grew up running with her. And, I started getting so fast. Like I instantly qualified for the Boston Marathon. I mean, I shaved 27 minutes off my marathon time. So, you know, during that whole time, I was just following that lifestyle of, you know, lifting, running, eating this, you know, whole foods, honestly, was the big hitter. And then I, you know, went through this whole like A-bomb on my life. I left Mormonism. I got divorced, and I actually started dating a guy that was one of the, you know, first people really, to start pushing keto. And so we were in a relationship for a year and a half. And so of course I was like, oh, I'm gonna try it, you know? So for me, keto, the first thing I noticed with keto was that I felt a tremendous sense of emotional calm when I went into a ketogenic state. And, you know, obviously like your audience is probably somewhat familiar with fat's impact on mental health and hormones. And I do think there was definitely like an upregulation that happened when I started eating more fat. So that was really nice. Also, it was so cool to be able to go longer between meals and not feel hungry, not get hangry, to basically lose a hormonal or blood sugar need for food, right? That wasn't the issue. It was more just, am I actually hungry or not? Which was freaking amazing, you know? And I think most people who have done keto have experienced that. Now, at that time, I was actually qualifying for I had just qualified for Boston and I was training for it. Right. And so this is probably 9 months into my keto journey or something. It was actually 5 months into it. I ran the Boston Marathon. For me, that was a very not great experience, but it wasn't really keto's fault. It was the fact that it was my fault for not checking to see if you could bring camel packs on the Boston Marathon course. And I should have, because of the bombings and stuff. So I had my camel pack full of ketones and salt and electrolytes. I had nut butters in there. I had all this stuff just in case. And I go to get on the bus and the security guy's like, you can't bring that. And I'm like, oh no, 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 no. I need this. I mean, it was hot. It was a hot, hot year too. So you can imagine what happened. Oh, I had made sure I was like 1.5. I'm like totally in ketosis. And now I'm running a marathon in the hot, hot Boston heat with no electrolytes, no salt. I'm stopping at every aid tent. I'm like, please, you have salt. Like, I was so frustrated. I didn't have salt pills, but I thought I was good with my ketone salts, you know? So it was brutal. It was the most painful thing I have ever experienced. And I'm talking more than natural childbirth. I was crying. I was blacking out. I was severely dehydrated. My legs, you know, I definitely had electrolyte imbalance. My legs were like going to explode out of their skin. So yeah, that was a not super fun, but I did it. And it was a really cool life experience. But as I went forward in my keto journey, for me, what I started to notice after time was a couple of things that I didn't like about it. And it just for your audience, I love keto, guys, like that. I still am definitely a huge proponent of keto and use it with my clients all the time. But for me personally, I noticed a couple of things. One is I never felt satiated at the end of meals, which was really bugging me. And I know I'm like, if I could just have like polish off like a package of strawberries right now, I'd be good. But I just like, I couldn't figure that piece out of it when I was doing it. And I tried all sorts of things, more protein, more fat, less fat, you know, more veggies, more, you know, I played with it a lot. And my boyfriend at the time was a very knowledgeable keto specialist. So it's just after time, I actually started to lose muscle, even though I was eating a lot of protein, I was losing muscle and I was gaining body fat. And I finally got to a point, I had done some gut testing and DNA testing and all the fun biohacking things. And like every single thing that I did, it was like, you should eat more carbohydrates. And I knew in my heart that I actually kind of preferred that, but I was so, you know, this is 2017. This is like keto mania, you know, it was like back then it was like keto is the only way. Like if you're a smart person that cares about your brain and, you know, you want to be this high performer, you're keto. Like that was just pretty much it. And so finally, after about a year, I was like, okay, I'm just, you know what, I'm just going to start eating pretty much like I used to, but a little more fat, you know? And so I just started eating sweet potatoes and fruit and those kind of things again. And for me personally, holy crap, that was a really great experience. I actually, without even counting calories or anything, dropped back down to 13% body fat. My workout started going up. I felt so much better, but I was so grateful for keto because I carried some things with me from that experience. I carried with me that I can go forever without eating thing easy. I found I needed less carbohydrates to fuel athletic performance. Everything just felt so balanced and good after that. And so a lot of my message, yeah, my book is called Short-Term Keto, right? Keto Now. It's kind of the same principle as like, do keto for as long as you feel awesome. And for some people that might be forever, you know, especially if you have something therapeutic that you're using it to manage. But like my concern in the keto community is that, sometimes I think people get so, it's kind of like I was in the beginning, they get so bought into, they're so excited about, the cool science that we have behind it. And they probably felt a lot better, especially if they were insulin resistant or obese or something. I mean, that is a life-changing experience going keto. But what I found is that, a lot of people, it's like there comes not always, but many times there comes a point where they're just not getting the same thing out of it anymore. And then we start to trickle into, at least in my experience, coaching people one-on-one, these kind of just almost disordered eating patterns around carbohydrates, where carbohydrates are bad. And like, I hate myself if I eat one and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. The carb phobia is so bad. And so I was like, okay, hold on, let's talk about this, you know? And so that's where short-term keto came from, is the whole book, you know, it starts off why keto is a smart move. I definitely think keto is a smart move for most people. Can't say everybody, but most people, the way we live now, how sedentary we are and how food is available 24/7. Like we just don't have that adaptation in our body where blood sugar starts to drop and we're like, oh, I'll just go into ketosis. Yeah, right. When there's a freaking granola bar and Swedish fish in the jar right in front of you at work, like, come on. So I think keto is a very smart move. And I talk about all the reasons why in the book, but then, okay, well, after you've done keto for a while and you're just not feeling as good, or maybe you're starting to get in that like hyper adrenaline state where you're just like up to level 10 billion all the time. Like, I'm talking about the impacts on neurotransmitters, you know, serotonin, GABA, dopamine are the biggest hitters, I think, to talk about with keto. And so just some things that people might want to consider if they're thinking of introducing carbohydrates again. I just want to give people some information so they're not just like, this is bad and I'm caving. It's like, well, no, it might be a good move for you. Like let's talk about it reasonably. So that's kind of been my journey with keto and my message in the space.
Yeah, I think that processed carbs are really addicting. And I yes. think that a lot of people really get cornered into the carb phobia because they know if they say like, oh, I can have carbs now, that it's giving them that leeway to like eat the cookies right. and like reincorporate right. the chips and thing like that. And so I think that's where people struggle. And that's just straight up. They are putting band-aids on some other problem in their life. And that's why yeah. coaching is probably so powerfully effective because yeah. women in particular, because I work in women's health, you know, there's usually something wrong in their relationship, you know, something that's not fulfilling about their life or their job. And they're using food for that dopamine response. And a lot of people know I used to have pre-diabetes, which is how I got into the keto space, right? Yeah. So I was keto for a long time. And then I started to incorporate more whole food carbs. And I think it was probably around the same time, 2018, when you were kind of like talking about like, hey, you know, and, yeah. oh my gosh, some people were like really mad about this.
Yeah.
But I always, you know, for the 88% of people that have abnormal metabolic markers, it is like, we want to repair the insulin resistance.
Totally.
Then we just want to use carbs strategically. But I think the big take home message is that like, we're talking about like strawberries yes. and squash and sweet potato.
Right.
And, like,
yeah. And thank like, you. Thank you. Yeah. I sometimes I forget. I'm like, oh no, I'm not talking about those kind of carbs. And granted, like if you've been keto for a long time, like it is a restrictive diet, right? It is restrictive. It's beautiful. Like a healthy keto diet, it starts to not feel that way after a while. Right. But if you've had in your mind, carbs are bad, and all of a sudden you start bringing them on the table, like it, you may go through a little blip of like, I want to eat all the things that I haven't eaten the last year or two or three, you know? And like, yeah. but, and that's, I think one of the things that keeps people kind of trapped in keto for too long is because yeah, if I go eat a bunch of donuts and chips and, you know, oxidized oils and chemicals, I'm going to feel like crap the next day. And so what happens, I think often is people eat those kind of carbs and then they're like, that's how carbs make me feel. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Did you eat a spaghetti squash and some like, you know, strawberries on Greek yogurt? Like that's the kind of carbs I'm talking about, you know? And so, yeah, it's a super important thing. It's not the same effect on the body at all. You know, a lot of those, first of all, they have nutrients. Second of all, they don't have chemicals and like these flavor profiles that make you go freaking manic. And third, they have fiber to help slow down that insulin response, blood sugar response, you know? So yeah, really important. That's a lot of what I'm trying to show with keto in and out. And short-term keto is like, this is what I'm talking about when I say eat carbs again, guys. I'm not saying go eat Doritos.
Well, and it's interesting, like even when you look at low carb research, okay, so for people just to define, ketogenic is an actual state. Like your carbs have to be at a low enough threshold that you're actually going through fat oxidation and ketogenesis and making ketones. But when you look at literature and research, some people define 150 carbs as a low carb diet. And if you're eating whole food carbs like strawberries and squash and sweet potatoes and things like that, it would be hard to get a lot more than that.
Right.
I mean, yes. Like maybe with rice or those types of things. But I mean, if you're eating real whole food carbs, like we're still kind of talking about a low carb diet in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And just think of it's fascinating when you know, I did a lot of research for this book, and it's so fascinating when you start looking at, how these different carbohydrate sources actually impact blood sugar and all the bio individuality there. Like if anybody listening has a continuous glucose monitor, I mean, you have probably been amazed. I've had clients that are like, dude, I actually ate a banana and I like barely had a blood sugar response at all. I ate strawberries. My blood sugar went sky high, you know, and that could be food sensitivities, who knows what, but there's a lot of bio individuality there.
At different times, I use CGMs a lot in pregnant patients and they're like, okay, I had a slice of pizza and it did this. And then 2 nights later, I had the same slice of pizza and it did this. Like even like different days, different days.
Like, true. And it's like, did you already have some protein or fat in your stomach? You know, did you have higher stress levels? Maybe you didn't sleep very much the night before. So it's kind of fascinating when you get into it, but you know, I mean, I guess I really go into detail and in the book, but it's like, for the most part, like understanding, there gets to a point, and I think keto is actually a really great, like reset. It's a really great, like cleansing, helping you become more aware of how your body feels depending on how many carbohydrates you put in it, you know? And so it's kind of cool to go through that process, and you eventually you start to get a vibe, you know? And now like my clients that have come off keto, we just keep, this is how I coach, because my clients are weight training like beasts, you know? And so like, we just keep protein high so they can repair that. And then I tell them, I'm like, you can go intuitive on the rest of the 60% of your macros. What if you're feeling like you want a lot more fat that day, like all you want is ribeye and eggs and avocado, like go for it. Just keep your protein high. And if you're on this other day where you're on the like little Greek berry day with blueberries and all that stuff, like go for it, you know? And I honor the body because there's so much individual response day to day. You know, we look at, there's a research study where they sleep deprive some guys. I don't know if you've seen that one, but they sleep deprive metabolically healthy guys with good blood sugar response, sleep deprived half of them. They became the same as like someone with pre-diabetes after one night of sleep deprivation.
I know, because if I get, when I have a CGM on, if I get called in to deliver a baby between the hours of 2 a.m. and 3 a.m., my blood sugars are jacked the next day. My satiety is jacked. I'm like constantly hungry. Yeah, like appetite is raging every time that I have to deliver a baby in the middle of the night. And we know from studies on like night shift workers,
right?
More cancer, more heart disease, more diabetes, like sleep cannot be like over promoted.
Totally. I mean, it's everything in the body gets better with sleep. And it's a lot of people, you know, a lot of times when people tell me they're emotional eaters, I'm like, how much are you sleeping? Cause I just want to check that first, because you actually might not have an emotional eating problem. You might just be really sleep deprived. It's just something to check first, you know? Yeah. It's a big hitter.
Yeah. Okay. So talk a little bit about your book, and if somebody wants to like do keto, come out of keto, like how do they determine like how many carbs to eat, or what do they do with their fat? How do they go in and out?
Yeah. So like the way I teach it in the book is, so I'm actually not a big fan of a low carb, high fat diet. Unless like, meaning not keto, it's too many carbs for keto, but carbs are still really low and fat is really high. I'm not a fan of that, except in the interim between keto and shifting. So that's where we start, right? And the reason I'm doing that is mainly for gut health, because so many people that do keto, a lot of the reasons they do it are because they have gut issues, right? Which start to get better with keto for many people. And so I don't want to slam them with this insurmountable amount of fiber that they're not used to, and their gut gets all messed up. And so that's why we start low. And so we gauge it week by week. Like, how are you feeling this week? What did you notice in your digestion and your sleep and your mood and your energy levels? And then we bump it up a little bit. So we drop the fats down little by little, and we bring the carbs up little by little. And just, you know, one other thing that I really love to share from the book. So there's been a lot of information on the internet in the last few years about it. It's basically the energy of it is, if you eat one carb, you're going to get fat, right? As soon as you eat a carb, it just goes straight to fat storage. That's it. And I'm like, what? Okay. If you're insulin resistant, that's kind of true. You know what I mean? Like carbs are not going to be your friend if you're pre-diabetic or diabetic at all, you know? So find out what your blood sugar is. I always say, like, you have a car that you have 5 to 10 years and you get that checked up. You're not going to check on the inside of your body sometimes. Like, go to freaking the drugstore and get a blood sugar monitor and find out, like, that's your body. You only have one for this whole life, you know? So anyway, I'd say if your blood sugar in the morning is 90 or above, like, you know, I would definitely do keto. But I'm a little bit of a blood sugar. I want my blood sugar in the 80s. Like, I think that's optimal personally, and that's what we've seen in the research is more optimal. But after that, let's say you're waking up in the morning, your blood sugar is like 85. You got perfect blood sugar. You've got no health issues. You've checked all your blood work. You don't really have inflammation or anything. You got good gut health. Like, everything's like kind of fine. This is what I like to tell people with carbs. So, like, just making sure that they understand that your body, when you're not in a ketogenic state, your body has a tremendous middleman for carbohydrates that it doesn't have for fat. So when you eat carbohydrates, if let's say you worked out, okay, you worked out, you hit a HIIT session, or you hit weights really hard, or you're kind of pushing your cardio, you just dumped out a bunch of glycogen out of your, I call them your storage tanks, right? Your liver and your muscles. And that now has made room for more carbohydrates, more glycogen, more stored carbohydrates in your liver and muscles. And get this, the average person can store 350 to 500 grams of glycogen in their liver, in their muscles, and another 100 to 120 in their liver. So that's 450 grams upwards of glycogen, of stored glycogen in your liver and muscles before any of that goes to body fat. Fat doesn't have that middleman. Yes, we need fat. We actually can't, you know, I'm sure your audience knows, we cannot make it ourselves. We have to eat it. So it is super important for our brain and our nervous system and our cell membranes and our cholesterol levels and our steroid sex hormones and all of these things. So important. But if we eat an abundance of fat and we are not in a ketogenic state where that's getting converted into ketones as our primary energy source, you eat a bunch of fat all day, and whatever you're not really using to, for those vital processes is actually converted to body fat quite easily. And this is something I like to bring up in the keto world, because you see people over many years, they're not checking to see if they're in ketosis anymore. And how anybody who's actually been keto knows, you got to be on that. You got to really watch it. You go to a restaurant and you thought you had a bunless burger and you were going to be good, and you're not in ketosis the next day. You know, it's like, you have to be so careful with it. So I see people not in this ketogenic state. Now they actually don't have very many carbs to fuel their body. They don't have ketones either. And they're eating exorbitant amounts of fat that are going to fat storage. And this is a problem I start seeing on this like lazy keto approach. And it's like, you're wondering why you're storing body fat and feeling like crap. That's why, you know, cause so I'm actually in the mindset of, if you're not going to be for sure in ketosis, I would not recommend eating very high, high levels of fat, except in that transition where you're slowly reintroducing carbohydrates. And then I would recommend getting more into, like, for me personally, because I'm a weight training person, right? I'm also a personal trainer. So that, you know, my people that I serve are training. This might be different if you're sedentary, older, you know, in a different boat, but I'm more in the weight training population, boosting that up to a higher protein, moderate carbs, and actually a little bit lower fat, 20 to 30% sometimes even, and see how you start feeling, you know, and then you can always go back into ketosis intermittently as you please. If you feel like you're starting to lose some of that, you know, going between meals for a long time, you don't feel like you're getting hangry or anything like that, go through another month or two of keto and then start transitioning back out. So that's just one of my favorite things to share from the book, is that carbs do not inherently make you fat. And actually, I say, if you're not in a ketogenic state, I say they're less likely to make you fat if you're exercising than fat is. So just, yeah, one of my favorite things to share with people, to kind of give them a little more balanced look at carbohydrates.
Love it. Love it. And when does your book come out?
It's December 21st. It's available on Amazon and Barnes Noble and Indigo right now. So yeah, short-term keto on Amazon is probably the best place to get it on pre-sale, because they give you like the lowest price no matter what. So, if you guys get it, if anyone wants to check it out, on my website, I'm also giving away my top 100 keto recipes for free, because I realized people are going to get a book called Short-Term Keto and they're probably going to be like, where's the keto recipes? So I'm giving them my top 100 away for free on the website with your order. So just heads up on that. It's taragarrison.com.
Love it. You guys go check it out. Go check it out. And it's going to have so many golden nuggets in it. I know. Talk to me about your experience doing a bodybuilding competition and what you learned from that.
Well, remember how she said I'm like brutally, what'd you say? Brutally blunt. That's pretty much me. I value that in people. I'm like, thank you for just being blunt. I don't have to agree with you, but I appreciate just knowing how you actually feel about something instead of beating around the bush. But, for me, the reason I did the bikini competition was, well, a couple reasons. One is because in Utah where I live, it's very popular to do fitness competitions. So I've gotten a lot of these clients, and based off of my experience working with people after those competitions, I did not like fitness competitions. I was like, these people are not in a good way mentally, emotionally, or physically. They are chronically obsessed with staying super lean. I think that's why they reach out to me, because I think keto is going to keep them super, super lean forever. And they have body dysmorphia. It has been like every single one that I had worked with was this way. Often really bad blood work because of that low fat, you know, they had like really low HDL, signs of chronic dehydration because they're like cranking the caffeine all day, you know, and to have some energy because they don't eat fat, I think. And also like overtraining and all these things. And it's just kind of this, I felt like I had to do so much deep work with those clients. I'm like, freak, man, like so much of their value is wrapped up into their body, which of course I can relate to, but through the experience I had, but I hadn't fully walked that road, you know? And I was actually dating a guy again. So yeah, I guess I always jump in with whoever I'm in a relationship with, but he was bodybuilding and I know you know him a little bit. And so I was like, you know what? He seems to have like a pretty good approach towards it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. And that way I will know for sure the path that these people have walked. It was hard for me to get into it because I'm not a fan of, I'm not like the David, I like to push hard in my life, but I'm not like, I call it like the David Goggins mentality of like you will obey me body. Like, you know, like this, like super hard, like I listen to my body, I honor it. You know what I mean? And so yeah. I definitely will like push its limits, but I don't like to teeter into those spaces of like, you know, mind over matter only, you know, like, and so it was kind of hard for me to get into that space. But I did one show. And I think in that show, I had kind of rose colored glasses. I was like, also because I'm meeting so many people in this industry and like, they're nice people. I didn't want to like offend them. I think that was part of the rose colored glasses. So I did another show and I'm really grateful I did that show because in that show, I felt like all the toxic sides of the industry just kind of slammed me in my face. Just so many, eating disorders, just straight up. I'm not gonna lie. Like I ran into that a lot. I ran into people telling me stories of how like their lives had been destroyed. They had given up everything. It's a very selfish sport. I don't think anybody in bodybuilding would like disagree with me on that. It's basically like the whole world revolves around you and your food and your sleep and your training. And, you know, I mean, to each their own, but like, what I was just seeing in the mentality of so many people in that sport, I was like, these people are not happy. Like they look brain dead and exhausted. And like, they've given up so many relationships and even, you know, even me too, like time with my kids is like, sorry guys, I got to go back and do my cardio. You guys good with a movie? Okay. See you later. I hate that, you know? And so, you know, didn't even want to like go do barbecues and stuff. Cause I'm like, I don't want to be there around food when I only ate 1300 calories a day and I'm freaking starving. And like, I don't even want to go. I don't even have energy to go. I'm too tired, you know? And so I was like, man, this is definitely not health. It's a sport for sure. And it takes insane amount of discipline, but it's definitely not optimal health. I'll say that much, you know? And I actually had a lot of issues with water retaining afterwards.
Did you do labs like throughout this process at all?
I wish I had, girl. I got concerned because, so you do like water depletion at the end. And right. I also added on top of that, like he gave me some, I don't know what it was. I can't remember what it was. It's like for like high blood pressure or something like that. Yeah. I forget the name of it. But anyway, after that, I have never retained water like that in my life. And it went on for weeks. And so I did order a bunch of labs cause I got kind of concerned and then I got COVID. So I couldn't go in and get them. And then too much time passed and my body regulated and it was fine. But man, like even having to heal my relationship with food again, it's been so many years that I've been living a healthy lifestyle. And like, I love like food quality, you know, that makes me happy inside my soul. And I was like a different person. Like I was fantasizing about cereal and donuts and anything like standard American diet I could get my hands on. I didn't even recognize myself. I was like, this is crazy. It took me probably a solid 2 or 3 months to get back to normal. Like it was like, if it's healthy, I don't want it. Like, don't even talk to me about it. Like mm-hmm. I was going to get a little bit better than fast food, but still like, it was a rough road. I'm not going to lie. I still have respect for the amount of freaking discipline it takes to do something like that. It is hard, but my question is like, but for what, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And what is the result that you get out of it? Because I think a lot of people get attached to the attention you get when you look that fit. I was not, cause I already went through that healing process. I looked like that before when I got fit the first time I got to 11% body fat and was jacked. So I lived that life where I was like insecure and loved all the attention I was getting and all this stuff. So I didn't need that anymore after my healing that I had done. So people would tell me like, oh my gosh, you look amazing. I was like, no, I don't. This isn't amazing. This is unhealthily lean and I'm starving and angry all the time. So yeah, it's you know, I share all that like, because I think a lot of people don't know what they're getting into when they do these physique or fitness or bodybuilding competitions. Like, there's a very big emotional journey that I don't think enough people are talking about. It can easily become an addiction. Your value can get wrapped up in your body. A lot of these people end up getting on steroids and other drugs as appetite suppressants. Like, it's not uncommon to be on Adderall or even freaking cocaine to keep energy levels up, you know? So yeah, it's just be aware if you're going to do something like that, like ask for some honest experiences of what people went through in their life as a result of that would be my recommendation.
Yeah. My husband went through his first competition this last year, and it was just something he wanted to go after. But the interesting part for me was he was doing it completely ketogenic, and the patients that in the women's health space that I've taken care of in the past, you kind of alluded to this. They eat such a low fat, low caloric diet for so long. I mean, their hormones are wrecked. They have no estrogen. It's awful. And so I watched that and I was like, oh my God, I would never do this. And then he showed interest and I'm like, okay, well, I'm testing labs on you. Like, we're going to test it.
Yeah.
Honestly, he made it look so easy. Like, he never complained and he was actually really happy. And he loved that there was no decision fatigue. Like, it was like, he knew what he was eating every day. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I would never like that. I would not be me. Like, I was so like, and then watching him make it look easy, I was almost like pushed back even more. But, the cool part, and, Robert Sykes coached him and he of course is in this space. Like,
right.
I'm like, okay, if I'm going to trust anybody, like, you know. And what's cool is like, he maintained his testosterone levels, like all of his abs look good, electrolytes. So it was almost kind of for me, like, oh my gosh, like maybe there's like a healthier way to do this.
Yeah.
It was really eye-opening. Yeah.
Yeah. I love hearing that, first of all. And second of all, like, I intentionally chose to do it the traditional way because my main purpose was to get empathy. I was actually pretty surprised that I didn't lose my period. I'm pretty resilient on that, but I definitely experienced what a metabolic slowdown feels like, because for me, eating 1300 calories is absolutely insane. Like, that's like lunch, you know? So, it was interesting to see, like, wow, I have been at the craziest calorie deficit for me and the weight's not budging, you know? So, but it's cool to hear that he had those labs and things went well that way. And, you know, it's, I guess, different strokes for different folks, but for me, like, I guess for me, it's just, if you want to get healthy, like, to me, that's the exact route that I feel like people think they need to take to get healthy. It has to be this very regimented, rigid, like, it has to suck. It has to be so like take over your whole life. And I don't feel like it really has to be that way. So I think as a health coach, it's not something I advocate as a path to like getting healthy for most people, but to each their own, you know, if it's something you want to do, go for it.
Well, and that's one thing that I love about you too, is that muscle is like, it's a metabolic organ. So if you want to talk about just like getting healthy, like so many women are like, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to look manly, I want to be bulky. And I loved your post the other day. You're like, I dare you to try.
Yeah. I get bratty.
This morning, I just spent the entire morning doing DEXA scans on people and, at one of our businesses. And women just have this obsession with this leanness. And it's so interesting for me to go through these reports with people. And I'm like, listen, like, I know you don't want to be 27% body fat, but like, if you're healthy and you function good,
yeah,
and your labs look good.
Right.
Like, what are you trying to fix? Like,
right. Exactly. Thank you. That's, I've told people, I'm like, guys, I have looked at labs on women who are almost 200 pounds who have perfect blood work.
Totally healthy.
Perfect. They are so healthy. And then women who are super lean, exercise obsessed, energizer bunnies that have so many issues, you know? So like the level of body fat that you have in your body is not an indicator of health at all, you know? Yeah. So yeah, it's like we have this obsession with being skinny, you know? And it's just like, it's a healing process that you have to go through. You know, I'm not as lean as I used to be, but I don't want to be that lean. Like, that actually does not look attractive to me. I am not chasing it. I don't want it. Like, because I know I've been down that road. I know what it freaking takes.
It's not sustainable.
It takes being hungry all the time. It takes being tired. It takes being obsessed in your mind with like making sure you don't eat too much. And like, that's not health. You know what
you're
I mean?
Less so, of a human. You're less of a human in that form.
Yeah. You're just not vibrant, you know? So yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up because it's like, we need a different look for women. Like, women are like, look at it. We're meant to bear babies. Like, we're meant to have some fat stores on us to support extra life. That's why when you get too lean, you lose your period because your body is saying you could not support another life right now. What's that?
Yeah, not a good time to reproduce.
Right. So it's like, we need to redefine what this looks like for women. And I feel like we're kind of getting there, you know, but it's like, there's definitely a difference between being skinny and being healthy. And I'm not saying being skinny is bad either. Some women are naturally thin and they're very healthy, but you know, to take a healthy person and tell them that there's something wrong with them because they don't fit this model of what they're supposed to look like is this tragedy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's like, enjoy your health, enjoy, you're healthy. Yay. You know? So.
Okay. So talk to us a little bit about Higher Coaching. Like what Higher Coaching about, and tell people how they can work with you too.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. I freaking love Higher. Oh my gosh. Higher is it's a combination of it is my one-on-one clients, but I've also put them in a group together, and that came through all the group things I was doing. I was like, my one-on-one clients aren't getting this cool, awesome Zoom call with each other. Like I'm going to put them all together. So that's what we've done. So Higher is mindset. I'd say that's the bread and butter. I love life. I love seeing what I'm capable of. You know, I know you're the same way. It's like, it's a magical freaking carpet ride. Like, let's see what we can do. And so a lot of that is seeing what your blind spots are and seeing what your tethers are and seeing how you think, you know, like that is everything. It is everything. And so I'm very obsessed with mindset. And so that's a big part of what we do there. My clients go through like a whole personal development journey. And then we facilitate a lot of goal setting and just looking on the inside. So what I say is it's a psychological and physiological deep dive on yourself. Right. So we also do biohacking type stuff. I don't do all blood labs. Like obviously like Jamie's going to know some blood labs that I don't, but I obviously know the ones that have to do with nutrition. Right. So those ones I'm looking for are like vitamin D, CRP, folate, B12. Like, I want to make sure you have these basic hitters on that. We do the neurotyping test is basically a personality test created by Christian Thibodeau out of Canada on how your different neurotransmitter levels will impact your personality. That one's fascinating. We use it for training and nutrition too. And we do DNA testing, all sorts of stuff, heart rate variability, blood sugar, ketones, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. And then we do training and nutrition too. So that's Higher. It's like, it's for growth junkies for sure. If you're like all about living that like optimal life, that's what it's for. So thanks. And it's all on my website, terragarrison.com.
I love it. Okay. So, I'm not going to take any more of Tara's time because she's got to go crush the rest of the day.
Party time Friday. Bye.
I end all of my podcasts with something called the semen analysis. I don't know how you could not do something with the last name. Like, I'm still working on getting something named after me. I'm not really sure.
I love it, girl. Oh my gosh.
It's part of my life. Anyway. So, I was just pulling some research cause I wanted something to be really, women specific because Tara is such a huge fan of women and muscle as a metabolic organ. So I was pulling some literature about aging and sarcopenia and the relationship with estradiol, because I am a huge fan of hormone replacement therapy for a variety of reasons. And really in the medical literature, the only reason we're supposed to give it to women is to reduce hot flashes and night sweats. But what I found clinically is that it makes women's brains work better. It helps protect their lean body mass and their bones. Yeah. And when we look at literature on men and women, as men age, they can actually protect against sarcopenia just with exercise and resistance training. But for women, it doesn't seem to be that easy. A lot of the studies show that there's all these other kind of multifactorial things that can either increase a woman's risk of sarcopenia or reduce it. And so during this aging and menopausal transition, we see this progressive muscle degeneration that occurs. So you're literally like losing your muscle, and it's for a variety of reasons. So there's these satellite cells within your muscle, there's decreased proliferation of those, and there's an increase in these inflammatory markers. And a lot of it is due to the loss of estrogen. So the clinical definition of menopause is when you have not had a period for 12 months, you're considered to be menopausal, and you are already going through this age-related sarcopenia. And of course, you're listening to Tara and I, so you're trying to do resistance training and you're trying to eat like a ton of protein. But what happens is there's this release of these pro-inflammatory cytokines, notably IL-6, IL-1, and tumor necrosis factor alpha. And your fat cells actually start releasing these little chemicals, and that starts to compromise your muscle function. And that is the downward spiral that causes sarcopenia. And then what happens is you stop exercising and you get weak and you fall and break your hip. And most people who fall and break their hip are dead within a year. Like, I'm not kidding. That's like what the studies show. So today on the semen analysis, I just want to highlight another advantage of considering things like estrogen replacement after menopause, because as we find out more and more about muscle. Muscle is a metabolic organ. And what I always think about is like, you know, Tara and I have said, like, what's the end goal? What's the end goal? What's the end goal? I think that not only quantity of life, like Ben, my husband knows one of my goals is live to be 100. Like I want to live to be 100, but I don't want to live to be 100 and be in like a long-term care facility for 20 years. Yeah. I don't ever want someone to have to care for me. And so, I want to be able to function just like I am now for as long as I can. And so,
yeah, a lot of people are calling that health span instead of lifespan, right? Yeah. 100%. Yeah,
absolutely. And so, I know so many people in the low carb space are so like anti-medicine, and COVID is like really highlighted like anti-medicine.
Uh-huh.
But hormone replacement therapy is really a form of biohacking. It's not like your doctor's trying to give you a statin or something like that. There's so many roles of, you know, for hormone replacement therapy, and women are so adverse to it. And I'm telling you right now, like vaginal estrogen therapy in particular, if men's penises shriveled up when they went through andropause, they'd all be using some sort of cream or treatment or whatever.
Right.
So I don't know. It's just something about women. They just like to suffer.
Oh, I love that you're saying this. I say the same thing to my clients, especially, I don't know if you've had Dr. Mindy Pels on your show yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, I'm listening to her and I'm just like, yes, I am definitely doing all of that. And if it can make your life better, if we have figured out a way to enhance your life, like why not? Why not? You know, like I'm not resistant to things that make my life better. For me personally, I know a lot of people feel differently about it, but like I totally got an epidural with my kids. That was my personal choice because I was like, well, I wouldn't get my arm amputated without like anesthesia. I'm going to do this. I did have one natural childbirth and that was really brutal. I definitely got an epidural after that. But for me, you know, and that, of course, that's probably a terrible example because some people think it causes problems with the baby. And I don't know. And you probably know a lot more about that, obviously know a lot more about that than I do. But like, I'm just saying, like, for me, it's like risk versus reward, you know? And yeah, for me, hormone replacement therapy, I've worked with so many perimenopausal women. And when they get on that, it's such a life-changing experience for them. They're finally able to get gains. Like they don't feel crazy or I hate that word, but you know what I'm saying? They don't feel off. Yeah. And so, yeah, I've seen the benefit of it, obviously, like from just going to doctors like you. And my clients are like, they get on their hormone replacement therapy and everything just starts going up. So it's like, why would we not do that for women, you know? So yeah, I appreciate that a ton.
Amazing. Okay. So Tara, tell everybody one more time where they can find you and find your book and work with you.
Okay. Yes. I always freak out my podcast host by saying my home address is Coach Tara Garrison on Instagram. Like really though, like I'm on there all the time. And I always say like, if you're not watching my stories, you're missing most of the show. Like that's where it all is. So Coach Tara Garrison, Tara, just if you find me there, you will find everything I have. My podcast is Inside Out Health Podcast. Jamie is one of my first guests on there. And I have, you know, YouTube and all of those things. My website is taragarrison.com that has like coaching. I have a bunch of digital programs. My book is Short-Term Keto is on there, linked and everything. So if you find me on Instagram, Coach Tara Garrison, you will find all of my things. I love to share. I love spreading goodness. So it's all on there. So just come find me. And I am building a TikTok, Jamie. I'm building a TikTok. So come find me on TikTok, guys. It's Coach
Tara Garrison. You're going to have to teach me. Oh my gosh. There's so many of these different social channels and I'm like, how can everybody be on them? Cause people don't realize, you guys, I'm literally my own team. Like I don't have like a, you know, like a crew of people. I'm a mom and I work.
You have
like,
an assistant?
Well, I have one person that like monitors some emails and does a few like administrative things, but literally I'm my own person.
Wow, girl. We got to get you some more people. That's amazing.
Yeah. But the last time I got to hug Tara was at Metabolic Health Summit when I was in the midst of filming Titan Games. And, I can't wait to hug you again this year.
I know. That was such a cool moment where you told me, cause I was still secret back then. And I was like, just so happy. Cause you started messaging me before you were really like Dr. Fit and Fabulous. You know, we go way back and it's just been so amazing to see you just freaking flourish. Like my heart gets like, it's going to like burst out of my chest sometimes. Cause I'm like, she is on her freaking path. Like, and everybody knows it. I know that your listeners are like, it's fun to watch cause you're in it. You're in like your soul calling and you're doing the work. And I know it's exhausting. I know it is. And we got to get you some more help, but like, thank you Thank you for doing everything you do, girl. You post so much good information. You're helping so many people. You bring it back and you also make it fun. And it's just, yeah, it's just such an awesome thing to watch your journey and also learn from you at the same time. So thank you for letting me come on your show, and I can't wait to give you another hug too.
I appreciate you. All right, you guys, thanks for listening to the Fit and Fabulous podcast. Make sure you like this episode, download it, leave us all your views, especially comment on the YouTube channel and tell everybody how awesome Tara is, because she is. Go check out her book that's dropping in December. I cannot wait to get my paws on a copy of it. So everybody have a kick-ass day. Talk to you soon.